Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
.602 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker. With all due respect, is coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Hot Shots text line and participate. 65780. Before we get to With All Due Respect, you may not know Thomas Bryant, but the Wizards starting center just signed a 3-year, $25 million deal. Now, most of us would probably celebrate by buying a new whip or treating the crew to a fancy dinner, but Bryant went a different route. At The Athletic, Fred Katz writes, he procured two Krispy Kreme donuts, then fired up a couple of beef patties. He melted extra cheese on them. He wedged them between the two donuts because, well, what else would he do? The sensation that followed was the savor of pure sugar, dough, meat, and cheese. All those millions so Thomas Bryant could party like a broke college student. Bryant said, that was my celebration right there, eating the most greasiest, fattening things. That was good.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, look, if you got something that makes you happy, if that's how you celebrate, you do it. I've had a Krispy Kreme burger before.
With from like a minor league ball game,
yeah,
right?
Grizzlies. Yeah, it's fantastic. The thing's ridiculous. And if you think to yourself, that's disgusting, I would never, you try it. You put that in your mouth and tell me you won't do it again.
It is aggressive.
That's right.
Rob Gronkowski seen working out with Tom Brady at UCLA. According to Andrew Callahan of Mass Live, the two were tossing the pigskin around like old times. With all due respect, if you come back for training camp without ever having missed a game, are you really retired?
I don't know.
I don't
Maybe
think
not.
So.
Maybe not. You're doing all the same stuff.
Yeah.
You might just pop back up again.
Yeah
we got to wait until week one.
That's right.
That's
we
call.
Do.
Yeah,
I think all you
call.
Have to do is say, I'm retired.
Yeah, but...
And then you've retired.
But we're not sure.
This is... It is confusing.
It is.
Hmm.
It is. Maybe he's just helping out his boy.
Yeah, most likely.
That's nice.
He said earlier in the offseason that, call me when you get to the playoffs.
So, that's kind of cool, too.
I love that dude.
Roger Clemens.
That's kind of cool as well.
George's box?
He's in George's box. I was thinking about this just a second ago as we bounced back with some music. You know it's 90s Day.
Oh, love
today.
It.
That was Tupac that we bounced back with. I believe the song was Ambitions as a Rider. Got me thinking about hip-hop right now. I listen to everything. I listen to all genres. With all due respect, hip-hop nowadays can't hold a candle to 90s hip-hop. With all due respect.
I mean,
who's good now?
Chance is pretty good. Kendrick Lamar is pretty good. I mean, we're still counting Jay-Z, aren't we?
He's had an album
2 years ago. He had a really good album.
Does Lil Wayne still do music?
I think he just had one. J. Cole is good. Yeah. It's different. You know, that 90s rap, though, I mean, that was, for me, it's nostalgic.
And there was some stank on it, too.
Yeah, there was. And I got to give it a lot of credit, too, because it put rap mainstream, you know? So.
Nipsey Hussle's stuff. Really good.
It was.
Waiting for his new album to drop.
I guess it could happen.
Dude, it happened to Tupac.
Dead people.
Tupac wrote only like 3 albums after he passed away.
It's amazing. Guys, bear with me. I'm going to read a little letter, okay?
Yes.
This was a letter to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch after the Blues won the Stanley Cup, and it was about their celebration, the parade. Here is the letter, verbatim. The F-bomb-filled post-game tradition of hoisting and skating the Stanley Cup around the city by individual players was disappointing, to say the least. I think misunderstanding the magnitude of acting with character befitting a champion was more than a total lack of class. It was an organizational failure and demonstrated the Blues are not really worthy of being champions due to the inability to act like champions. I played competitive hockey, including college and junior. I understand the culture of the game and the boys will be boys locker room behavior, but a suggestion, leave a locker room talk in the locker room. When you are on a big international stage watched by millions, including children, act like you have actually been there before. I was rooting for the Blues to win the cup and thought your storyline from last to best was with a rookie goalie was great, but there will be an asterisk next to the Blues' accomplishment on the Stanley Cup. It should say, quote, fought like true champions and dishonored the victory with boorish behavior, end quote, from Gary Whiteley in Alaska. This was a letter to the editor sent to the Post-Dispatch. With all due respect to STLtoday.com, stop printing letters just to piss me off.
And that don't read letters from Alaska.
On. So this dude...
Handwritten, probably.
This
three
dude who
pages.
Understands the culture of the locker room in hockey and has played at multiple levels, thinks this is the first time a Stanley Cup champion team has unleashed words
Look,
winning.
I agree with the fact that it's not the best optics in the world to have F-bomb after F-bomb. Agreed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can bleep it.
Get off my lawn.
I mean, come on, man. What do you think these kids are going to do? Guys, grown men. At least they weren't puking in cars.
Right. Well, maybe one was. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
So as BT mentioned, a lot of great music, good hip-hop in the 90s, some good movies as well. I think that's what this stems from. With all due respect, there was plenty of room for Jack on the Door. Rose.
Yeah, we've seen this graphic many a time.
Yes.
Like, they could have played cards on there, right, Randy?
Easily, yes.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Guys, there was room on the door, but the buoyancy of the door was not going to allow them both to get up there.
They didn't even try.
Did you try it?
Yes, he did.
Did you try it?
No. Did you see him try, though? Jack tried to get up
could
there.
Could she not have counterbalanced it by, like, sticking a leg out a little bit while he's trying to get on?
I mean, you have to take into account it was the Atlantic. It was freezing.
She looked very buoyant, you know? I feel like they could have figured out a way to make it float. You know?
No doubt about it.
I mean, if we're gonna
think she loved him.
If we're
really
gonna criticize, listen. If we're gonna criticize women for
forever until I let go right now.
It's really cold though, Jack.
It's freezing on this door.
I will say this.
It's about Jack.
I'll admit this. The least she could have done was drag his dead ass body to the whistle, right?
At least hold his hand.
Yeah.
This one's dead.
Hold up forever.
He's with me, though.
You're going to have to let him go.
And then it would have been really funny if he would have said, not dead yet.
You will be
soon.
Why didn't you pull him up on that door? I didn't even think of that.
So, wait, you guys are trying to suggest that Rose killed Jack?
I don't think she loved him. I really don't.
No.
Oh, man.
I think it was just a fling.
No doubt about it.
I don't know.
Honestly,
man.
That was her easiest way out.
She left a millionaire for him.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, what'd you get out of that?
A dozen, you know?
Okay. Who is more responsible for her loved one's death, Rose or Courtney Love?
Rose was right there. She could have saved him.
Tied for first.
From the hot shot.
That guy's got the voice of an angel.
Good God.
From the hotshot text line 65780. With all due respect, my grandma could be a better four-hitter for the Cardinals. She died last year.
I disagree.
What the hell? No, I think she's probably going to strike out a lot.
That's because Ozuna's hurt.
Walk. She could walk. Well, no, she's not going to be able to walk. Hey, I meant a base on balls. She's not going to walk. Thoughts and prayers.
Is it acceptable if somebody dies in the batter's box, but they draw a walk in the process to drag their body to first?
Like a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Yeah.
You just got to play music.
Yeah.
But yeah. I
think you can.
So you have to get to first base. Umpire's back there. I don't mean to be a stickler here. but
you're allowed to.
That batter, technically,
you can get a
has
pinch
got
runner.
To touch first. However it happens. They got to touch first.
I believe you can get a pinch runner.
From the walk, don't they have to get to first by themselves?
There is a rule against physically picking somebody up. One time back in the 80s, Chuck Hiller, the Cardinal third base coach, I think he picked up Van Slyke and tried to get him to go home, and they called him out.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So despite all of this great technology we have, somehow we still continue to drop calls with guests. It happened today, Casey Stern. Yesterday, Bernie Federko.
That wasn't him.
Yeah, nope. But Chris Carpenter in the past, Steve Wozniak. Guys, with all due respect, I'm going to stop booking guests.
So we'd have two shows like that.
Yeah.
Say with all due respect.
Is Steve Wozniak the craziest one that his phone dropped
out? I wasn't even here for that day. That was must have been unbelievable.
The dude was Apple. He was Apple. And his phone broke. Left and right.
Probably at AT&T.
Stevie there. No?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
Kill me.
Turn his mic off.
Pretty proud of that, aren't you? Wow.
Let's just end on that. We're
all right. You got another one.
Nah, you got one in you.
All right.
Jim Brewer's laugh is one of my favorite things.
That's great. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. And we want you to get more Hot Shots text line texts in there because we've got the Sports Six Pack coming up. And we don't have anything to talk about because today is the quietest sports day of the year. Nothing going on. The All-Star game, no other games. So if you don't want to talk sports today, maybe you have a hot date during this All-Star break and you want some advice as to where you should go. Maybe you want some grilling advice from BT.
Oh, I love to grill.
Yeah. Or maybe advice on how to survive blowing a tranny.
Transmission.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't found out what it is yet, but I'm thinking it was definitely. It felt like a tranny.
Sports Six Pack is next on 101 ESPN. We do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. And with your questions for us, here is Big Sis.
Little NBA to get things going with the six-pack. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George signed through 2021 with the Clippers. Does it have anything to do with LeBron's deal ending in the 21 season with the Lakers?
I believe it does.
He does have the player option in 2022, LeBron does.
Right.
So you think they just want to take over there?
Yes. If things don't go their way with the Clips, go to their boyhood team, the Lakers.
Must be really nice to be able to just set up your future however you want it for bajillions of dollars.
They're in control.
Yeah, you know what, though? I feel like it's good for the game currently. I don't know how, like, I like it better now that it's not one team that has totally overtaken everything. All right, let's get five players over here and we're going to run the table. Mm-hmm. Now that you have at least a handful of teams that look like they could be a quote-unquote super team, I kind of dig it.
Also, I wonder, though, how reluctant some people might be to go there just because it just seems sort of dysfunctional at the moment. I mean, I know it is the Lakers and things could change for them, but there's just this. I wonder how many players are really interested in just putting themselves in that environment.
The only concern I would have, and it hasn't really manifested itself yet, but of the biggest free agents this offseason, you have three or people that moved. Let's go with Davis, Leonard, George going to LA. You had Durant and Kyrie going to New York. You've got the Bay Area getting Russell D'Lo, so D'Angelo Russell. I worry about the small market's ability to keep players. OKC loses George. Obviously, Toronto and San Antonio can't keep a Kawhi. I wonder if small market teams are going to be able to compete in this league.
This one is from the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Texter says, I'm going on a first date, and I'm wondering how many drinks it's okay to have.
Let's start with this. Does she drink?
Yeah, I think you let her be the guide here. But you don't want to be with somebody who's going to try to outdrink you. So I would try to keep it to a minimum, actually.
Yeah. It goes back to kind of the same thing we talked about with, like, pre-gaming or getting ready for the parade. You got to know yourself really well. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have that third drink and then all of a sudden you start saying stuff that you probably shouldn't say? If so, stick with the two. Like, know yourself, feel it out a little bit. And then if you guys are having fun, or if you go for another drink afterwards or something, then that's great. But you might want to have your wits about you early on.
Yeah.
I believe it's going to depend on a lot of different factors. One of them, are you going on a blind date to satisfy a friend? If that's true and you don't really want to go, you might want to imbibe a bit.
Have you ever been on a blind date? Like, full-on, like, never met, just show up and boom. It's
Not really. Not that I can remember.
Me, you ever been on a blind date?
Yeah, I've been on one. It was good.
Long time ago?
Somewhat recent.
Really?
Yeah. It was okay. It was good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Did you have to guide her on?
Oh, no. That's a different term.
Different kind of blind.
You ever been on one of those?
No.
Deaf, though.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. At a concert.
Great. Perfect. Great choice.
I didn't know.
Not on, like, the profile.
You tell them that, like, the first couple texts, right? What 90s show?
No, I don't know if the second thing you say to them is, by the way, I'm deaf.
Okay, maybe not like the first couple, but you let them know before you go out, maybe. Right? Yeah, probably.
Nah.
In fairness, like, it wasn't even like totally, right?
No. Just
partially?
Partially, yeah. Anyways. Hmm. Today is
my favorite story of yours.
I hate it. Thanks for bringing it up, guys. Awesome.
Yeah.
What 90s show do you want back?
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I think Seinfeld's mine.
I didn't watch any Seinfeld. I love Saved by the Bell so much. I'm not going to pick that, though. I'm picking a totally off of the reservation one here. I'm going Dinosaurs. You ever see the show Dinosaurs back in the day?
The puppets.
They were awesome. And the little baby that always said, not the mama.
That's the one.
Loved it. I don't know why, but I was into it.
What's a typical travel day like in Major League Baseball?
Well, it just depends. It depends if you have a day game, getaway day. Generally, you're bringing or wearing a suit to the ballpark, because suit is part of travel, unless you have some sort of a crazy road trip or you're laying it back a little bit. Right after the game, about an hour after the game, you have a bus to the airport, and then you fly into whatever city. If you're fortunate enough to get in early enough, generally those are the days, like after a day getaway game, those are the days where a lot of times you'll have your position groups that end up going out together. So like the starters will have a starter dinner, the bullpen, whoever wants to go will end up going to dinner. Usually travel days have an opportunity to be awesome bonding days, to get into places and go have a little bit of fun. But the nights that you get into hotels at 2 a.m, not so much fun.
Really?
Yeah, not really. Not much to do at 2 a.m. at a lot of places.
Oh.
This texter to the Hot Shots text line, 65780, a little disgruntled about a question we had yesterday. How come none of you guys picked Bernie Lomax from Weekend at Bernie's as the 80s movie character that you would want to play? The person says, I know he died, but he threw killer parties and had relations with a woman.
You can stop it. I know he died.
Yeah, I think
you don't get to experience any of it.
There were plenty of characters in the 80s that had parties and relations with women. I mean, you could just pick any of those that were living and go with that. Now, Bernie did have a great time, but he's dead. That's probably why.
Yeah, we want this person to be gruntled, but I have to be on board with you guys. You don't want to be a dead guy. It'd be fun to be Marty McFly, though. Be pretty cool.
I don't know, man. Your best friend's an old man.
And he also tried to get it on with his mom.
Right.
That's overlooked oftentimes.
His mom tried to get it on with
that's
him.
That's what it was, yeah. But
how about Maverick and Top Gun?
Better than Goose.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Things did not work out well for Goose. Oh. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Just in case you haven't seen it.
And if you could go back and relive one sports moment from the 90s, what would it be?
I think for me, that happened in the 90s, it'd probably be the night that McGuire hit number 62.
I would love to have seen that here.
That's right.
Like, I'd love to have been around. I was watching on TV as a young kid, but that'd have been a cool one. You know what? And I don't even, it doesn't even matter to me which year it was. I just have such great memories. The year they won the championship would be the best year of UNLV basketball back in the day when I was growing up. Like, I know it has no relevance to anybody here, but just how great they were and how awesome that environment was. Like, I just miss that. Like, that was cool.
Jerry Tarkanian, dead or alive?
He's gone. Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, I forget what it was, though.
I think he choked on a towel.
I don't think that's it. He didn't choke.
I'm pretty sure.
He certainly did not choke on a towel.
Let me check this out.
Big Sis, you got something to say?
Yeah, I got a couple options for you if you guys need a little help, some ideas.
Fire away. Well, that would be interesting to revisit.
He bit his blanking ear off.
He did. Ouch.
Only part of it.
He nibbled in the first time, and then the second time bit it off.
What else do we have? Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
Broke her leg off.
Not exactly.
Basically.
She wanted to know why.
Yeah, fell off.
Dude, sports.
She couldn't skate anymore.
Sports were awesome back in the day.
That was the day.
That's when people cared about winning.
And then she got to go to Disney World and sat up on the float and said, "This is so stupid."
Did she?
And cameras caught it, and then it became a whole thing.
Why?
Yeah. Galooly.
We appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Coming up. In 1994, O.J. Simpson took his famed slow chase with Al Collins through the highways and byways of Southern California. But he was trying to get in touch with somebody as they drove along. We will have that story for you next on 101 ESPN. One of the iconic moments of the 90s was the O.J. Bronco chase, and it really wasn't a chase as much as it was him driving home and escorted by a bunch of police vehicles in June of 1994. He was in the back, and Al Collins was talking to 911 operators, but O.J. had access to a phone, too, on that night. And Bob Costas joined us a couple of years ago and told us about that night. He was on the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden.
The murders happened on a Sunday night. And when we first heard about them, all of us thought, oh, my God, poor O.J. and his family. I knew Nicole a little bit. I knew O.J. or thought I knew him a whole lot better. And then as the week went along, it became clear that O.J. was the primary suspect. Now it's Friday, and the warrant has been issued for his arrest, and then comes the shocking, remember the press conference when the police chief announced that O.J. was a fugitive and they were actively looking for him. And as it turns out, that Friday is also Game 5 of the 1994 NBA Finals between the Rockets and the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. And so ordinarily, we would host the pregame at halftime from the studio, but when it came to the finals, we would take it on the road. So I was at Madison Square Garden. So as the Bronco chase unfolds, I'm sure I wasn't the only one that O.J. was trying to get in touch with, but I later found out that O.J. tried to call me from the back of the Bronco. And you know how I am when it comes to technology, Randy.
Yep.
I still use a flip phone. I didn't have a cell phone, certainly, in 1995, even a primitive cell phone. And I didn't have an answering machine on my home phone in St. Louis. So he's calling me at home in St. Louis. Turns out, no one's home. So the phone rings and rings. And then he calls the studio at NBC at 30 Rock. And we did the NFL pregame show, which he was part of with me, from the same studio where we did the NBA show. So we got through, but there was no one there except an engineer. And the tech answers the phone, and the conversation goes something like this. I need to speak to Bob Costas. He's not here. Well, I have to speak to him. He's not here. I have to speak to him right now. Who's calling? O.J. Simpson. Yeah, right. Click. And he hangs up. Okay, so now the Bronco chase is playing out, and it's surreal enough on every other network. But on NBC, it's doubly so because Marv Albert is calling the game. The series is 2-2. The Garden is caught up in the game. Tom Brokaw is following the Bronco chase, and I'm kind of acting as the intermediary, kind of shuffling it between the game and Marv and the studio and Tom Brokaw, and fans are pouring out into the corridors of Madison Square Garden. You know, they don't have smartphones where they can watch it. They're trying to find some place where there's a monitor hanging over a concession stand or something in the hallway where they can follow what's happening with this Bronco chase. And I'm watching the game out of one eye and the Bronco chase out of another. And I got Tom in one ear and Marv in the other ear. I got double IFBs going, trying to keep track of all this stuff. But I have no idea that OJ has tried to reach me. So the Knicks win the game. They go up 3-2. We go to Houston. They win on Sunday night to even it at 3-3, and now game seven isn't until Wednesday. So we're just sitting around the hotel waiting, and on Monday, a woman whose name I still don't recall from Time magazine calls me at the hotel and says, we understand that OJ tried to call you from the back of the Bronco. And I think I'm telling her the God's honest truth when I say, no, that didn't happen. And she's satisfied with that answer, and that's the end of it. Then months later, I'm in L.A., and I get word that O.J. wants to speak with me. This is before the trial starts. The murders happened in June. The trial started in January of 95, and this is November of 94. And so I'm in L.A., and I'm going to go see him at the L.A. County Jail. And who comes to pick me up but Robert Kardashian,
wow,
part of his defense team. So he swings by the hotel, picks me up, and A.C. Cowlings, his Buffalo Bills teammate and the guy who was driving the Bronco, A.C. Cowlings meets us there. And it's me, Kardashian, and Cowlings talking through the glass to O.J. And, you know, the way you shake hands is you put your hand up against the pane of glass and match it against the inmate's hand. And it was a surreal thing when they brought O.J. around the corner. And here's O.J. Simpson, one of the most famous and until then beloved people in America, shackled at both ankles and both wrists, and they took three of the shackles off but kept one of the shackles on his ankle on and connected it to the leg of the chair, which is what they did with every other inmate. I looked down the line, and he was treated exactly the same as every petty burglar or career criminal who was incarcerated with him. And it was during that conversation that Cowlings just kind of offhandedly said, you know, we tried to call you from the Bronco. And then the whole story became clear, and they explained the whole thing and what had happened. And I asked O.J. why he was trying to get in touch with me. And his answer was that he felt he was being treated unfairly in the press, not so much in terms of guilt or innocence, but that his life and the kind of person he was not being fairly portrayed. I mean, you can't blame him for being, you know, somewhat off kilter at that point. And he thought somehow if he got in touch with a friend in the media, that I could help him tell his side of the story. Hmm. Now, I wouldn't have knowingly gone along with that, but that was what he was attempting to do, and he never reached me, so the whole thing was moot.
Bob Costa, several years ago in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and a really compelling recollection of what happened that night and what an incredible night it was. There's a great 30 for 30 about June 17th, 1994, but that was part of it. The Rangers had had their parade in New York City earlier in the day. As we know, the Knicks were playing the Rockets that night. There was so much going on that day in New York and around the country, and that was the one that everybody remembers. Everybody that is old enough to remember remembers where they were the night of the O.J. chase.
So surreal. Like, it really is. And I was, what would have been, like 12 years old. And I remember just being at home, and it was on the news. And everybody just sitting there just watching in like, amazement. It's like, oh my God, it's O.J.
Right.
You know, like, that's unreal. And now he's just doing videos when he's out playing golf.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's trying to stay positive with all the haters out there.
Yeah,
you know,
his mentions are awesome. Well, I don't. Very rarely do I go down the rabbit hole of reading comments. Oh, they're good. They are good.
I can't imagine why he would think Twitter's a good idea for him.
No,
can't imagine he'd wear a glove to golf. That was quite a bit.
By the way, if you have not seen that 30 for 30, Arnold Palmer played his final round at the U.S. Open in 1994. It was the start of the 1994 World Cup, and it was hosted here by the United States for the first time. Rangers had their victory parade, a ticker tape parade on Broadway, as we mentioned. Game 5 of the finals between the Rockets and the Knicks. And Ken Griffey Jr. tied Babe Ruth's record for the most home runs before June 30th and the team's 65th game of the season. All of that stuff happened one day in 1994.
Jeez.
And that 30 for 30 is amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. I didn't see that one.
Hey, you got to get into check that. It out.
Are you reading the mentions?
I am. I'm looking at OJ's most recent tweet. Well, the one I saw most recently from yesterday, where it's a video of him saying exactly what I said to you. He's trying to stay positive, stay away from all the haters. And like, and I've only gone through about 10 or 12 comments. At least 4 of them say, "Where's the other glove, pal?" Because he's on the golf course, and he's got the left-handed glove on.
Yeah.
People want to know where the other one
Amazing.
Is.
Hey, we're headed down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with a game of a Would You Rather coming up. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Would You Rather is next on 101 ESPN. We are ready for a game of Would You Rather here on 101 ESPN. Chris Long winning something on the ESPYs tonight, so that's cool to see.
And he's winning fashion. That suit's amazing.
Of the year, I think it is.
It's a Muhammad Ali
award. Good. Yeah, he's a good humanitarian.
I'd say so.
Good. We are welcoming your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. And with your Would You Rathers for us, here is Big Sizz.
Okay, guys, would you rather have been in the Bronco during the chase with O.J. Simpson or in the hallway
Bronco
with Nancy Kerrigan?
Oh, I thought you meant in the hallway where... You know,
it happened.
Foyer.
I believe it happened outdoors.
Allegedly. Yeah, it was like a little foyer, right? Yeah, I'm gonna go in the Bronco.
Gotta go in the Bronco.
Bronco is a safe place. No, well, just because I don't think that he was gonna hurt anybody.
Sean
there.
Eckhart was only gonna hurt one person.
It's already been done,
and nobody died.
That's why.
Ugh. A text message says OJ's doing a great job at ignoring the haters on Twitter, really killing it.
Oh man, that is just
did you tell him we're not going to read stuff like that?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, we can tell him now. That's the last time we're reading those.
Yeah,
would you rather have ticks all over your bodies? Ticks,
Lyme disease,
TICKS,
okay, or poison oak. All over your body.
I'll go poison oak.
Yeah. It goes away.
Ticks can kill you, right?
Yes, they can.
So I don't want those.
You don't want that Lyme disease, son?
Nah, I'm good. I'm just going to, I'm definitely going with the poison oak. Or
we once rescued a dog that had 47 ticks. Took him to the groomer and they took them all out. 47 ticks for Max. He didn't die then.
That's good.
He lived a productive life for a while.
What about a nervous tick?
Yeah, I got a few of those.
I had, when I was in Milwaukee, I had a cab driver, and I used him multiple times, and I didn't notice it until the third time that he had a huge ticks, and he'd be driving, and his whole body just shake.
Oh, that's good.
I'm like, you're driving me. They're involuntary and stuff, and he'd be having a normal conversation, but he had some big old ticks, and it scared me as a driver. Different kind of ticks.
Big old what?
Ticks. Oh, huge ticks.
If I want to get my dog to play moose, that's what you do is you act like you have a tick, and then he
freaks out.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Always, by the way, seek out the person in your office that has a nervous twitch or they shake a lot. That's the one most likely to shoot it up.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't
it's science.
Say probably not effectively.
Well... <That's good. laughs> I mean,
but a shoot with this hand.
Yeah. Steady as a rock. This is the hand I shoot. You're the Waco kid.
So during the Blues playoff run, there was a chinchilla that showed up in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather start every other year by eating a live chinchilla or start every single week by peeing your pants?
I'll pee my pants.
Like Miles Davis.
Yeah. I met that chinchilla. It was nice. But yeah, I would not be
chinchillas are adorable.
Yeah, and you'd a live chinchilla, you got to eat one every other year. You'll probably die from that.
I'll sacrifice some pants and pride.
Yeah, me too.
For the love of God.
And they aren't
saying...
You
see these texts?
Yeah, I see this. The one here that says, your guest earlier must have been on OJ's phone because he kept cutting out.
Come on.
Come on, man.
We're not going to read them.
Well, I'm not going to read them anymore. I know that. Ridiculous.
What? OJ jokes are tasteless. Oh, this is a real text. OJ jokes are tasteless. I know you guys are shooting from the hip, but it's time to cut it out.
Come on.
Yeah. It's our fault. Thanks.
Yeah. You got to give people like OJ credit for taking a stab at the whole social
media
right.
thing. Okay.
We're not going to read them anymore, though. Would you rather always catch every single red light or not be able to go faster than 50 miles per hour on the highway?
I hate red lights, but I think I can avoid them. So I would rather hit the red lights than never go above 50.
Yeah, I'm all highway here. To get here, I get one in my 40-something miles. It's 1, 2, 3 lights, and two of them are right here on all of them.
That's not bad.
No.
I can't do lights. It's irritating.
But 50 is really slow. Like, when you have to drive to Chicago, can you imagine never going above 50?
Oh, God. It would...
That would suck.
Do you know how? Yeah. I mean, do you know how slow? I mean, you guys probably know this. When you're on the interstate and you're doing the speed limit, which is 65 to 70, because I know you don't drive over the speed limit, either of you. You're safe drivers. And you're on for several hours, and then you get off on a ramp, and you have to go like 45. It feels like you're crawling.
Yeah,
it is a weird feeling.
It's awful. Yeah, but I still don't want to deal with the lights.
Okay.
Before they made it big, would you rather have been at a comedy show to see Chris Farley or John Belushi?
Chris Farley.
Yeah.
That's just more in my wheelhouse.
Well, I mean, they're both great.
Yeah, I think I would have gone Farley, too. Just based on what they did on Saturday Night Live.
Farley was so freaking talented.
Yeah.
Would you rather have the Cardinals make the playoffs and get swept in 3 games or miss the playoffs, but they cash in huge on Ozuna and Alex Reyes in the trade market?
I don't know why anybody would trade for Ozuna when he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, but that would be awesome. And cash in big. Cause he would have a trade market for sure. Yeah.
I'll cash in big with those guys.
I would do that too, because the other side isn't to go to the playoffs and you don't know what's going to happen.
You
get
lose
swept
three
in
games.
3 games. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just going to cash in big and hope for the next year.
Would you rather have Tony La Russa back as the Cardinals manager or have the Rams back in St. Louis?
Rams back in St. Louis. Another big team?
Tony's almost 80.
Look, even if he – do you think anything's going to be different, significantly different in terms of the record?
No.
Is he going to make Paul Goldschmidt hit?
No.
If so, sign him up.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's
going to happen.
Goldie's going to do it himself. He's going to be fine.
Would you rather, for a full week, watch nothing else but 90s Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel?
I think I'm going Nickelodeon. Rugrats was a fun show in the 90s.
It was great. Hey Arnold.
Yep.
Rocket Power.
What's the other one?
You guys are rich. I don't think we had cable. I'm pretty sure.
Arthur?
I don't know if that was Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I watched Nickelodeon or Disney.
All That was great. Kenan and Kel.
Yeah, Nickelodeon then.
I used to watch You Can't Do That on Television. Ended in 1990, so still counts.
Yeah.
Great show.
All right. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. That's our producer, Brad Barnes. BT.
I got to be honest. I'm a little tired of you guys making fun of me. I'm going to stand up for myself. I was a good pitcher. Thanks, Jim Brewer.
Ronge.
I like talking to him today.
Mike Ryder is always doing a sensational job as our board operator. And I am so tired of your cutting humor.
Okay, Randy. If OJ's using one glove as a stroke, always a slice. Stupid.
Hey, we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, being a part of the show. Till tomorrow at 3. Good night, St. Louis.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question.
You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.